Welcome to the LifeLink Church Podcast. We hope you hear something that will make a difference in your everyday life. If there is anything we can do to be a bigger part of God's plan for your life, then please email us at info@lifelinkchurch.com and let us know. Now prepare your hearts to hear God's word to you today.
But church family, here we are. We've worshiped through singing. We've worshiped through our giving. And now it's time to connect with God and worship Him in His scriptures. You know, I just want to encourage you right now to go ahead and set yourself to be ready to hear what God says to you directly. I want to encourage you to open your notes, your Bibles, your Bible apps, whatever you can capture something that God talks to you in the next few minutes in. And let's connect with God relationally and let Him speak to us in ways that bring transformation to our lives. You know, worship is so important. It's not just a Sunday ritual. It's a relational connection that makes all the difference. In fact, it's one of the dimensions of what I believe He wants to talk to us about in His scripture this morning. So would you join me in prayer as we begin the journey together, and let's just let God do something great in our lives this morning. Come on, let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for being so gracious to us, so good to us, so present, so powerful. We're in seasons, Lord, where we really need Your help like never before. And it's the exact type of scenarios that You tend to do Your best work, Lord. And that's when we are at the spot where we feel our strength is ebbing and our certainty is diminishing, and we're needing that real connection with You. And it's in moments like that throughout history, God, that You've done Your greatest work. And so today, Lord, I'm asking by the Holy Spirit's strength and power that You would be present in our lives and help us connect in a simple yet life-changing scripture and truth that brings real transformation to us, not just for us, but Lord, for the hope that we can give others, as the illumination of Your power and Your Spirit working through Your people bring others to the hope of the gospel as well. We thank You, Lord, for all You'll do in these next few minutes in Jesus' name. Everybody said, or typed, or wherever stream you're on, amen. You know, if you're on Facebook, why don't you go ahead and start a watch party if you haven't already done so? Because what God shares with you in the next few minutes, I believe He wants to share with lots of people. Maybe you're watching not just on Facebook, perhaps you're watching on YouTube or our church online, which is our LifeLink website. If you're watching on either of those two platforms, why don't you go ahead and share your screen, and let's bring other people into the journey with us, because today God wants to turn the lights and illuminate a powerful yet simple truth that I believe can change your life. I want to talk to you a little bit about the season we're in, because the year 2020 has been filled with things that are just crazy out of the blue, things that are happening. I mean, none of us really knew in January all that we would face, and yet here we are, it's July. We're a little over halfway through the year, and we've seen things and experienced things as households, as friends, as communities, as a culture that we've never experienced before, at least in our lifetimes. And so here's what I do know. When it comes to the issue of uncertainty, which describes what life is like for so many people, one of the things that does for us is it shrinks our perspective from what typically is season to season. Like, we know what we do in the spring, and we know how to plan for the summer, and we know what to expect in the vacations or the holidays of the fall and Christmas and the things that happen when we think season by season. And when we run into a season like we're in right now, where there's so much uncertainty, it shrinks that perspective from season to season, almost to day to day. I'm in touch frequently, as Pastor Cherie and many of our leadership teams, with people whose lives are being touched with the virus that's going around, or the economic uncertainty as jobs are shifting and changing and people are being let go and other people are finding new jobs, and the uncertainty that goes with that, or maybe the demonstrations and the cultural transformation where our communities are going through as we're working our way through, watching protests that go week after week after week as different parts of our nations really grapple with painful dynamics that are at work and have been for a long time. And yet here we are in an uncertain time, needing to actually experience and connect with God, who is anything but uncertain. Our God is truth, which means there's nothing that ever takes Him by surprise. So when it comes from our perspective shrinking from season to season down to day, and needing to know where we are in the moment and who God has created us to be and how He wants us to experience life today, and then He'll meet us tomorrow, I want to bring a perspective to you that I think will encourage you, and it will give you some practical handles to hold on to as we work our way through these uncertain times. I want to talk to you today about the power of prayer. And I know perhaps you just thought, oh, I know about prayer. I know a lot about prayer. In fact, I've taught about prayer, or I've helped other people know about prayer. But the question I have for you is, are you praying? And is the prayer that you're praying, is that time you're spending with God effective? You see, we see in the New Testament book of James, the second part of verse 16, New King James Version, it reads this way. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man or the righteous avails much. You know what that's saying to us? That's God's way of saying that prayer that's effective, prayer that's powerful, prayer that's prayed God's way, in the context we're going to talk about today, that kind of prayer changes much. It makes a huge difference. So today I want to encourage you to step beyond the thought of prayer and let's step into the reality of the experience of prayer that God's going to teach us about, I believe, in the words of Christ himself. I was thinking the other day about this in the context of an experience that I went through. In fact, just a few nights ago, I woke up in the middle of the night and my mind was kind of spinning with all kinds of questions and thoughts and just really the things that perhaps you're thinking about and the things that wonder, that make you wonder what's going to happen tomorrow or how's this going to work out. And I was thinking about it through that. And then I realized, man, I'm wide awake. You know what I did in the middle of the night? I did what a lot of guys do in the middle of the night when they wake up. I went to the restroom. And so I walked through the dark bedroom and I made it all the way to the bathroom and it was fine because my eyes were adjusted to the nighttime. And then I flipped the lights on, which is really important at that kind of season of life. You need to have the lights on. So I flipped the lights on and I finished everything I needed to do. And then I was washing my hands. I was getting ready to get back in the bed. And I realized just as I was about to walk out of the bathroom, I'm about to walk into a dark bedroom again. And then I thought about something because you've probably had the experience too where you've twisted your little toe back on a piece of furniture that you didn't see in the dark as you were walking through a room that's familiar to you. But because it was dark, you twisted your toe, you stubbed your toe on something, and every part of your body wakes up in pain when you bend your little toe back. Well, I was thinking about that, and I thought, you know what, here's what I'm going to do. Just before I turn the light out, I'm going to take a snapshot of the room in my mind. And then when I turn the light out, I'm going to trace through what the light just showed me, because it's so important. There's a piece of furniture right at the end of our bed. It's a little bench. And the last thing I wanted to do was stub my toe on that. So just before I got, I flipped the light switch off, I took a snapshot in my mind. And then because my mind was familiar with what that image was, I was able to trace my way all the way through the room, around that piece of furniture, around the bedpost the foot of our bed. And I made it all the way back injury free. And I was thinking about that because in a way, that's what God's word and his presence in prayer does for us when we face the darkness of uncertainty. I don't know if you've ever made this connection or not, but there is a powerful promise in Psalm chapter 119, verse 105, New King James Version. It reads this way. It says this, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." In other words, God's saying when we connect with him relationally in his scripture and we connect with him powerfully and relationally in prayer, and the relationship that we have with him is made alive through that connection, then God can show us who we are and where we are. There's his word being a lamp to our feet and then a light to our path. In other words, he'll inform us, here's what I want you to do next. When we have that relationship with God, it changes everything. And here's what I know about relationships. Relationships take communication. You can't just be in a room with someone and be in a relationship with them. You got to talk. You got to spend time getting to know them. And there's something about hearing them and hearing their words and you exchanging communication back and forth that brings the trust of that relationship into its powerful form. Well, there is a parallel that I want to share with you about this. There's a spiritual parallel of that experience I had walking through a dark room in my mind knowing where the furniture was because the light was on for a moment just before I stepped into that darkness. There's a spiritual parallel that I want to make the connection with you about prayer and how that works in our life. You see, Jesus helped us understand that there's no substitute for prayer in our day-to-day life. You know, you know this, and I just want to remind you that Jesus is God. And yet when he lived here on earth, one of the things he did routinely was spend time talking to the Heavenly Father in prayer. In fact, we see in Luke chapter 5, verse 16, New Living Translation says it, but Jesus often withdrew to the wilderness for prayer. In other words, even though he was God here in bodily form, he actually lived out his life in the humanity of the human creation as well, not just in his divinity, but he was fully God and fully man. And in that context, he actually drew his strength, not from his divinity, but from his relationship with his Father. And that it was the daily connection with his Heavenly Father that he demonstrated to all of us. Here's how we walk in the strength of who God created us to be, because God designed our life to be lived in relationship with our Father. Well, one day his disciples were paying attention to that pattern that he had. And I want us to look at something that we see in the historical account in Luke chapter 11, verses 1-4. This is one of the passages we know of as the Lord's Prayer. But I want you to notice a couple of specific spots in this journey through the scripture that I believe God wants to use to bring some encouragement to you. It says in verse 1, "Now it came to pass, as Jesus was praying in a certain place, that when he stopped," or when he ceased, "one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples.'" Verse 2 says, "So he said to them," here's what I want you to do, "I'll teach you to pray." And imagine asking God to teach you to pray. And that's what was actually happening right here. So he said, "I'll teach you to pray. And when you pray, here's what I want you to say." And then he said these words, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us as well. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." You and I know that as the Lord's Prayer. And it was a model prayer that he said to his disciples, who asked him to teach them to pray because they watched him in his own prayer life. So he said, "Here's what I want you to do. When you pray, start this way: Our Father." And so I know you probably have a certain thought about prayer, and maybe you have a pattern or a habit of prayer. Maybe you've got certain phrases that you use a lot in prayer. But what I believe God wants us to connect on today is the life-changing reality that prayer is not a recitation of words that we've memorized and strung together that sound religious to impress each other, or maybe to get something to happen that we hope would happen. But in fact, Jesus said, "Here's what I want you to know. When you pray, start this way: Our Father." What was he saying? I want you to connect with God relationally. I want you to connect with God relationally. Relationally. He went on to say in the Matthew's version of the Lord's Prayer, I want you to notice that he's saying that the power of prayer is not specifically the words you say over and over. And it's not even a list of trying to get things done that we want God to do for us. But I want you to listen to Matthew's version of this, because Matthew chapter 8, verse 7 starts this way. Jesus is explaining to his disciples, who had just asked him, "Would you teach us to pray?" He said this: "When you pray, don't use vain repetitions as the heathen do." What he's saying is that there is a secular understanding of prayer that sounds religious. And there's phrases people put together and memorize. But he said this: "Don't use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they'll be heard for their many words." In other words, people without a relationship with God often think of prayer as memorized speeches that we throw towards heaven in the hopes of connecting with God somewhere and getting him to do something we want done. Jesus said there's no power in that. The power in prayer is the relational connection we have with God in prayer. So time in prayer relationally does many things for us. And one of them is it develops a deep trust in who God is and our relationship with him. Jesus taught his disciples that prayer is not just memorized words to sound religious and make us feel better about time that we spend in prayer, but it's also not a list of trying to get God to do certain things that we think we need or the things we want. Listen to how he finishes his thought in Matthew chapter 8, verses 8 and 9, New King James Version. He says this. He finishes the thought. He says, "Therefore, do not be like them," which is the heathen we just talked about in verse 7. He says this: "For Your Father knows the things you have need of before you even ask Him. So He says, when you pray, I want you to know that before you even ask the Father to do anything, He already knows what you need. He already knows what you want. He already knows the words you're going to say. So the words themselves alone are not the big power of prayer. He's looking for the relationship. He says, in this way, therefore, pray, our Father, again, in heaven, hallowed be your name. And then he goes on through the rest of the Lord's Prayer that we just talked about in the other gospel. I'm just pausing on this just for a moment to help you realize that if perchance you have a pattern of prayer, but you don't feel like there's power in it, maybe you're not even sure prayer works, or maybe you've tried prayer before and it didn't seem to work very much, I'm going to ask that you would listen to the Holy Spirit bring a fresh perspective of what it means to connect with God in prayer. It's not specifically the words you say. It's not specifically the patterns of speech you have. It's not trying to get God to do certain things. The power of prayer is in the relationship we develop with Him as we spend time in prayer with Him. It's the relationship that's the key to everything. Because when we actually spend time developing our relationship with God in prayer, something happens along the way. We begin to know Him. And when we know Him, we begin to develop trust. When we know Him and develop trust in who He is and how He works and what He does, then faith begins to flourish, that sense of expectation. And the Bible talks about how powerful faith is, which is anchored in trust. Trust is developed in relationship, and relationship is developed over time as we meet God in His Bible, reading His Bible, connected with Him in prayer. So as we're going through this first part, when Jesus' disciples, His followers, ask Him, Lord, would you teach us to pray? He said, I sure will. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to first prioritize the relationship by starting your prayer with this phrase, our Father. Connect with Him directly. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. And then He goes on through other parts of the prayer. And each of those parts of the prayer really activate different aspects of how we collaborate with God and what we experience in our relationship with God. But the first thing I want you to realize, if prayer is kind of a mystery to you, or maybe you feel like it doesn't have the power it needs, is to let the Holy Spirit help you know right now that the power of prayer is not specifically the words we say. It's in the relational connection we have with Him as we're spending time talking back and forth with God. Why? It fills us with trust in who God is. So we live out the expectation of what He can do, which is the power of faith. We talked about that a moment ago. So the first priority in life-transformational prayer is keying in on who God is and the relationship we have with Him. Then I want to point out one other aspect of this, because of what we talked about earlier with the shrinking of our perspective from season to season to this day-by-day aspect of what God's doing in our life. And I want you to realize that I believe Jesus actually talked to that directly in the Lord's Prayer as well. Look at what He says. I'm going to go back to Luke chapter 11, and let's look at verse 3 when He talks about this. It's a really short point, but I believe it's important for today. And He says this. In this part of the prayer, He says, give us day by day our daily bread. In other words, the things that we need for today, give that to us today. And tomorrow, we're going to connect with you tomorrow, and you can give us that day what we need for that day. Which I believe is synchronized perfectly with the season that we're in right now, where so much of life seems so uncertain, and we're not sure how to plan for next week or next month. We just need to get through the day in a way that we know is successful and strong and powerful. And God says, that's the very context I want to connect with you on in prayer. So while our pattern of perspective is a little bit shorter right now, almost to a day-to-day experience, God says, I'm making provision for you in prayer day by day. Day by day. Jesus emphasized the importance of that daily, regular connection with God. Daily. Let that sink in on you daily. I connect with God daily. Sometimes many times through the day. But at least daily, I spend quality time with God, developing that deep sense of relationship with Him over and over. Why? Because God moves into our day, day by day, and leads us through the uncertainty of our lives, day by day, day by day. As we're going through this confidence in who we know God to be and how He's created us to walk out the journey of our lives, I want you to listen to this in the context of Psalm chapter 37, verse 23, New Living Translation. When we consider the confidence we have in walking out life in a daily relationship with God. He says this, "The Lord directs the steps of the godly." The Lord directs the steps of the godly. What that means is those that are walking with God, God is directing their steps. How do we know that? Because they're godly means they're pursuing God. They're in relationship with God. They're growing closer and closer with God. They're letting him lead them in life. And that's a promise that God is making to you, that as we walk through the process of developing a deeper and deeper relationship with him, we have the confidence of knowing he's leading us hour by hour, day by day. You know what he's doing? He's ordering our steps. Listen to this. The Lord directs the steps of the godly. And then he goes on to say, he delights in every detail of their lives. So church, this morning, whether you're a member at LifeLink or maybe you're watching in through different connections today, I believe God brought us together in this worship journey to connect on this real issue that in days like we're living right now, like never before, where our perspective is shrunk down from season to season to day, Jesus is saying, I've made a provision for you. You don't have to worry about tomorrow. You don't have to worry about next week. I know we're trying to make decisions about what to do with our kids in school or any number of big decisions about, is my job going to be there 2 months from now, a month from now? What happens if someone in my household is touched by the COVID or the coronavirus? What happens if this? What happens if that? God is saying, listen, I've got your tomorrow. I've got it. What I want you to do today is connect with me relationally today. Because if we connect today, and then we connect again tomorrow, and connect again tomorrow, and connect again tomorrow, here's what we know. Day by day, not only does he meet our needs, he transforms our lives, he changes our lives. You know, I listened to a pastor here recently who said it this way, what we do daily, we become permanently. In other words, the day-to-day habits we have becomes a part of our permanent character. Why not take what Jesus said to us about the power of prayer? Connecting with God daily in that relational context. Bring that into the power of not just who we are today, but what God wants to do in changing our lives to something that's built on the solid rock of who he is. It's just better to live God's way. So very simple, but sometimes simple doesn't mean it's easy, but it's still not complicated. Setting time aside to meet with God in prayer. There's a couple of things I want to give you just that are practical, and then we're going to wrap it up for the day. Number one, perhaps you're thinking, you know, I'm just far away from God. I'm not even sure I'm connected to God. Well, I'm going to end the message with a prayer that I believe is going to be the connection back to you in relationship with God through what Jesus did on the cross. We'll do that in just a moment. But for everyone else, you may be thinking, I know God, but I don't feel close to God. I don't have a daily time with God. I'm not sure how to start. Let me give you a couple of simple handles. Ready? Listen carefully. Number one, set a time, either the morning or the evening, but set a time that you can spend 10 or 15 minutes alone with God in prayer. You may say, I'm not even sure what to do. Let me give you a quick, simple three parts: worship, Bible, and talking to God. You may be thinking, well, what do I do? I'm not even sure how to get a hold of worship. Well, you know how to get to lifelinkchurch.com. If you'll go to lifelinkchurch.com, at the very bottom of our website, there's a resource section, and one of the resources listed there is a worship playlist. A worship playlist. It's filled with songs that are directly connecting, designed to help you connect directly with God in the context of worship. Spend 3, 4, 5 minutes. Really find a song that's kind of slow and contemplative and meditative. I love some of the songs on there. It'll really help you a lot. Then actually shift into reading the Bible. Spend the next 4 or 5 minutes just reading the Bible. And you may be thinking, I'm not sure how to do that. I'm not sure where to start. It's a big, confusing book. Well, open to the index and find the book of John. It's in the New Testament, the Gospel of John. And just start, if you're not sure where to start, start at chapter 1. And just before you start reading in that particular spot, say, God, help me find you by helping me connect with you in this passage of scripture, this chapter. Then slowly just read your way through there and just let God talk to you. Then after you spend time talking with God in that chapter, then you actually just spend the last few minutes talking back to God. Say, God, this is what I think you're talking to me about in the scripture today, about where I am or what you want me to do. And then you talk to God about that, whatever's on your mind. And then spend a minute listening right here. I guarantee you it won't take long and you'll sense God giving you an impression, a thought that's tied directly to something he talked to you about in the scripture. If you'll start doing that every day, making that daily connection, you're going to watch God bring a powerful work of his spirit, bringing you peace, a foundation that's solid. You won't feel wobbly all the time. You won't be filled with anxiety all the time. You're going to watch God grip your life with strength and power and make a real difference. Why? Because we connect with God daily in prayer. So don't just think about prayer. Don't just say, I know about prayer. Make it a daily connection, disciplined daily connection with God, and watch God bring the transformation, because he will. Now, let me help those of you that are thinking, I'm too far away from God. I've sinned too badly. I'm not even sure he'll make the connection with me. Here's what I want you to know. We're almost done. Jesus, the Bible says, died on Calvary's cross to pay for our sin. It's sin that separates us, but he paid for that already. He said, if you'll ask me to forgive you, I will. And I'll make it just as if you never sinned, so you can connect with the Heavenly Father in that relationship, and it'll change your life, it'll change your eternity. Right now, I believe many of you want to do that, and I'm gonna give you words to say that your heart is already saying. If you're ready to say yes to Jesus, I'm gonna ask that you would join me in prayer, and let's pray together today. Would you just repeat this prayer after me? Come on, say it out loud with me. Heavenly Father, come on, right where you are. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me enough to tell me the truth in your Bible. Jesus, thank you for loving me enough to die on the cross to pay for my sins. I'm asking you to forgive me for every sin I've ever committed, that you wash me and cleanse me and make me brand new. Today, I'm giving my whole life to you. I've decided to follow you from this day forward, no turning back. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. I know God did something great in your life just then. So we celebrate that with you. Those of you who just said yes to Jesus, we're gonna give you some instructions at the end of this, in our dismissal today, on how we can come alongside of you and help take the next steps to make that a big change in your life. Everybody else, I'm praying for you this week. Pastor Shereen, I love you. We're excited about what God's doing in this season. We can't wait to see you again here, right back just like this next Sunday. God bless you guys. We'll see you soon.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are blessed by God's word. For more information, visit lifelinkchurch.com.